Vaina de tren.
Hola.
I don't know how to say anything else, but we started the show in Spanish with the Spanish introduction from Ryan Fernandez. So I figured I'd say hola. Chris has maracas.
It sounded Italian to
came
me.
From a legit source. So
yeah, it did sound kind of Italian.
It sounded Italian.
Maybe that's how they do it over there. Australian speaking Spanish.
Comes sounds out Italian.
Yeah.
Kind of like the things go down the drain the opposite direction below the equator.
That's
that might be it. Hispanic Australians speak Italian down south of the equator.
I think we've cracked the code here.
It hasn't even been 1 minute and already.
We've done more than we need to. We
already
can go home.
Something nobody's ever heard before in their lives.
Yep. Time to go.
Has happened.
We work with the material we're given. I mean, what are you going to say?
Yep.
So it's a plausible theory.
It is. It is.
I would go with
it. I mean, that's a real thing, right? Water goes down the drain in the opposite direction down there.
It may or it may because be a myth.
I was going to say. I've heard it.
That's why I'm asking. I've never been below the equator, so...
And if I did, I wouldn't flush, so I would never find out.
Well, Nick leaves them all when he goes on vacation.
It sits on the other side of the upper tank.
You think you'd maybe try to brush your teeth once or twice, or is that out?
Well, I don't do that over the toilet normally.
Well, there's a drain in the sink, Nick.
Well.
But does it swirl? Well,
depends on the water pressure.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, if it backs up enough. I'm thinking a toilet... Where, you know, there's a large amount of water that has to go somewhere. If you fill the sink up, then I guess.
Well, the toilet, when you flush it, it goes straight down, too.
Yeah, but it's got a significant amount of water in it. If you're just brushing your teeth, how much water? You don't fill the sink up first.
Well, but you run the water in the sink and it swirls around.
I just get my toothbrush wet. I'm from that newer generation. We don't run the water.
I don't get my toothbrush wet. Is that weird?
Huh? That is weird.
See, look at three different generations of toothbrushing here in the room. One's running the sink the whole time until it's swirling. One does one ch-ch, and the other one, no water.
It's the running, the running of the water to get swirling is when you're rinsing off the toothbrush.
Okay, I thought you meant the whole time you were brushing. You just
to do that until I started paying my own water.
right.
When I lived at home, fuck yeah.
Who cares,
Leave it on till tonight when I come back and do it.
Right.
Yeah.
So leave it on all day so you're insured of getting hot water when you go to the shower. Just leave the hot water running all day.
Warm it up.
No wonder my mom was pissed off all the time.
Every time the water bill showed up.
So you just go straight from the toothpaste tube into your mouth.
I do.
Do you rinse the
Oh, afterwards, yeah.
Afterwards?
Yeah, but I don't.
Nick just throws it away every time. I've got a new one every time.
You don't
time.
Just run it quickly under the water?
Do
you?
Yeah, I do. I run it under the water.
I didn't know. I've never encountered anybody who didn't do that.
Well, there you go.
Until now.
I'm going to try it tonight, though.
You'll be changed.
Yeah.
Water. Maybe you won't. Maybe you'll hate it. I don't know.
I dip mine in Dr. Pepper and then brush my teeth. Yeah. All right, so back to the beginning of the show. Oh, yeah. Welcome to Pot of Thunder, the recognized symbol of excellence in rock and roll podcasting, brought to you by patreon.com/potofthunder. Something for everybody. And if you want to be like Ryan Fernandez and introduce the show in whatever language you want, however you want to do it, you want to sing Pot of Thunder, you want to yell it, you want a friend of yours, a family member, maybe you can get a pet to do it.
Dolphin.
Yeah, whatever you want to do. If you're a patron at any level on patreon.com/potofthunder, you can send it our way. If you're not sure how, I'll drop a clue for you.
Could he be the most nakedest man in the world?
That's right, I am. Not even could he be the nakedest man in the world.
Could it be? It is him.
It's me. World's nakedest man. It's your buddy Andy, also known as America's little brother. About to be joined by this dancing fella. He's going to get up. He's got something.
Do we need to We have our Latin percussion instruments.
Right? Oh, if we're doing that, then what the hell?
Yeah.
All right. Let's get it, y'all. Woo! Join the party. Patreon.com/Pot of Thunder. It's one digital conga line of friends dancing around the buffet. You're going to love it.
Join the fiesta, if you will.
There you go.
Keeping with the theme.
Mm-hmm. All right, so I got to move this here and get him lined up. Look at him. What is he up to? Move this out of the way.
What shit is he doing now?
Can't even get into my own cape.
What is this shit?
Nick is a disaster.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, here we go. Nick Pollock has entered the program, and an assist from me firing the rifle like lighting the Olympic torch.
Oh, I missed that part in the video.
To light the Pot of Thunder cardboard box. That's what we have here.
Well,
there's an Olympic torch. There's a Pot of Thunder box.
You do what you can with your budget.
We've got an Amazon box. There's their name on it.
A wad of unworking string of lights behind it.
Unworking? Would you pull some out to make it?
Yeah.
Yeah, that old trick.
Got to do it.
Is there anything worse than Christmas lights? I'm sorry.
They're garbage.
Going to a 1980s stand-up routine here.
They're garbage.
They are the worst.
And
you
know what?
You get the pre-lighted trees, and then after a year or so, that shit. Oh, it's garbage.
And you can't. Section stopped working.
Yeah. Can you even buy a tree that's not pre-lit? I was at the store, and I'm like, literally every box says pre-lit. Now?
Really? Jeez. Yeah, we got one. I think it's the third year we've had it, and there's two halves of sections that are out.
So what are you gonna? Okay, so in that case, this is what I would do. It might be overdoing it, but I would cut every little zip tie and get those things off of there, and just put lights on it.
That's what I suggested.
Yeah, I did that a couple years ago with a smaller tree that we have, the one that we used to have in the old Pot of Thunder studio, that skinny one that was in the corner.
Uh-huh.
Same, that was pre-lit, and it had all these little, like, you said zip ties, but this one was like these little clips that were really difficult to get off.
Oh.
So I unplugged it, and I was cutting them all with scissors and pulling them out, and just restrung
Terrible.
It. Yeah, it's a mess.
I don't understand the pre-lit tree phenomenon. I know it's standard now.
I'm guessing.
I don't get it.
They're betting on a percentage of their customers throwing it away and buying another one instead of keeping a tree for 20 years.
At those prices, I could not imagine that thought even crossing my mind.
Right, but I'm sure to some people, it's like, damn, the lights are out. Throw the tree out. Well, let's go get another one.
The thing that stinks is I like these lights right here that you see in the box.
Yeah.
Those are all from Big Lots.
Mm.
So I can't get replacements.
Oh, Big Lots is closed now,
so
right?
I can't get the lights that match them. Our Big Lots is gone.
That's it.
Every Big Lots is gone.
Some of them, I think, returned.
Oh, really?
Like Super Big Lots, I read that some of them did.
That's what I heard. What is that called? Where the robots combined together?
It's
kind of
like
a giant robot?
Gandalf when he came back. Yeah,
that's what it is.
Same thing.
All right. Well, yeah, that's what we're dealing with too. I think I'm just gonna leave it at this point. You ever try one of those little gun things that you plug the lights into?
Yeah.
Works like 1 out of 10 times and reactivates the lights. No,
yeah.
You don't know that thing, Chris?
Never heard of it.
It's this little red gadget that's used for Christmas
it's
lights.
It's like a shunt gun, I think it's called.
Is that what it's called? Yeah, but basically you pull a bulb out, plug the exposed whatever you call it, like the base
the socket.
The socket into this thing and keep pressing the button. Click, 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 click. And it shoots like sparks into it.
And it'll sometimes.
Sometimes it'll relight them.
Sometimes.
Yeah. Like, I'm serious. I think out of 10 I've
but
had
But sometimes
luck.
That whole half of the strand, if you look at the bulbs,
they're black.
They're burned out.
That's what
so
mine are.
That won't do a thing.
Nope.
Because they just burn out.
And people buy this shit?
We tried
Who
to.
Makes it? Apple? Sounds like one of their products.
It's like one of those things they have on an end cap at Menards where, you know.
It shouldn't even be for sale if it only works 1 out of 10 times.
Well, here's what I think it is. It probably works with an occurrence that only happens 1 out of 10 times, if that makes sense.
It doesn't make sense. It shouldn't be for sale.
You know what? It's a nice thing about it, though. It's got a little tester for bulbs.
Yeah.
Do you ever use that?
Yeah, on the top.
That's nice.
Yeah. I like to put it on my groin and make it beep.
Yeah, exactly.
That's it detects the electricity in the wire, too. Yeah. It's a multifaceted tool.
Yeah, one of those jokes that my wife can't get enough of every single day, every year.
What?
Me putting it on my groin and making it beep. Zero reaction every time I do it. And I haven't stopped.
Well, you know, running gags are... They take a little while to grow on you sometimes.
That's true. Yeah.
And then it's like, all right, I'm familiar with this.
Eventually it becomes funny.
It's hilarious.
You know, speaking of groins, my groin specifically, I wanted to tell you guys a story, something that happened the other day. I was in a bathroom, public restroom. It was a work bathroom. So I'm in there. I'm going to pee in the toilet, not a urinal. And there's like a towel rack, whatever you call that, towel rod in front of me. So it's protruding a little from the wall, right? And I'm about to pee, and I see it. There's a fly on it, like at eye level with me, right? So I take my pants down, take my wiener out. The fly gets one look, falls off the towel rack right into the toilet, dropped dead at the side of my penis. What does that mean? What happened?
I would take it as a compliment, frankly.
The timing was perfect.
Just died.
Yeah. It might have been dead.
That's the first fly to have a heart attack ever.
It might have been dead, and the timing was perfect with me standing there, and a gust of wind, I don't know what happened, knocked it down.
Unless you had a lot of asparagus and like a something about the fumes.
Yeah. Drop dead, fell right into the toilet.
Drop dead.
Rest in peace to that fly.
Amazing.
Yeah, I'm taking it as a compliment.
What a way to go.
Yeah, that's true.
The last thing he saw.
Looking at a human penis. Time to go. I've done it all.
It's the last thing on my bucket list.
It's the fly's equivalent of going out like Entwistle, basically. The ultimate rock star death, this fly experienced it.
Flies.
The other flies were like, you're not going to do it.
It's last.
No way you'll make it.
Last sensory experience on the planet was to see Andy's bare dick.
And saw it like through a kaleidoscope,
yeah,
too.
Exactly.
Yep.
With like 80 angles coming at it.
Saw it from above. And then it started coming down fast.
People crying. I see this. Yeah.
From above.
I see this.
Andy's dick. I see this. From above.
Yeah, is there any chance the fly was revived after being flushed and it's telling this story to its friends?
No, well, I don't know. That's an adventure, man. There's a fly, superstar fly director working on a screenplay for that story. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the ultimate fly death.
That's pretty unbelievable.
Oh, thanks for sharing.
Yeah, you guys needed to hear that.
So, Andy,
I couldn't share that with anyone else.
Andy, who's the third voice?
You shared it to the entire planet.
Oh, it's different.
Who's the third voice that we're hearing?
Oh, my gosh. How did I forget to do that? We got distracted with all that nonsense.
With the dead fly.
Two Nicks immediate left. You want him. Oh. We got him.
I can have it every day. Yeah. I can have it. Get out of my way. Yeah. Fuck you.
Put your hands together for the breakout star of the podcast medium. Chris L's in the house. Here we are, off to a weird start. It's that time of year. We got a couple gifts sent to us by our...
We got a pile of stuff here, right?
Yeah, we do, by our very nice listeners.
Scroon about the studio.
Yeah. So maybe Nick wants to be gift man over there.
Should we do that right now?
Sure, what the hell? Or do you want to do baked treat? What are we doing?
Well...
You call it.
You know what? If you want to do the treats while I get the gifts prepared.
All right, let's do it.
Who wants to eat dainties? Who wants to eat baked treats with me?
The gifts prepared, he said.
Hey, well, you gotta, you know.
I assume one of these is for Chris.
One's for Chris.
Here you go, Chris. I got a cup for you.
It might be a little hot.
I don't know.
It's warm.
Okay, that's good. That's a good sign.
Warm is good. Look at this. You got a little peppermint paper cup with a plastic lid on top. You can find out what it is. There's a little pull tab here. What kind of fancy cup is this? So it looks like it's some kind of hot chocolate.
Correct.
With little black flecks of something.
Well,
in it.
That's vanilla bean.
Okay.
So don't be weirded out by that.
Okay.
Be weirded out.
Uh-oh.
No.
What did you do, Nick? Okay. What did you do?
Full disclosure, I tried this the other day. I wanted to make sure it was actually good. I enjoyed it. Apparently, people are saying it's viral, quote-unquote viral, for gut health.
Yeah.
A gut health drink. This is bone broth hot chocolate.
Jesus.
I think mine has a bone in it. I just had a heart thing that was in there. I think it was a toenail.
It was another dead fly that saw your dick.
So, yeah, bone broth hot cocoa. Supposed to be good for you. My wife read about it somewhere and probably not thinking I would make it for you guys, told me about it. And
I'm going to have to talk to her about it.
Well, what did you try it?
No, it's good. I would never have suspected that it had any bone broth.
So I got beef bone broth because it said you could use chicken or beef. And then I read up which one would be better. And I came to the conclusion the beef would probably be better.
So what's good about it as far as health benefits?
So there's no sugar in it. The sweetener is pure maple syrup, which is, the more liquidy maple syrup. It's just kind of more basic ingredients, I guess. It's just like milk, the broth, vanilla, cocoa powder. I think that was about it, really.
Okay.
And the syrup. So, yeah, it's basic stuff. I guess it's supposed to be... I keep seeing the phrase gut health for gut health.
You know, it's funny you said that thing about it's a viral thing.
Whether it actually is or not, I don't know, but...
I just think it's funny because I'm not like tuned in to what's happening at all with those types of things as far as like a viral eating sensation. But that's the thing that comes up at work sometimes. It's like, oh, there's this taco place going viral. We're going to order today. I'm like,
yeah, I don't know. No idea.
Okay.
I guess like everything.
It's going viral. We got to try
it. Why don't you just say there's this taco place we're going to order from?
I don't know.
Oh, I know it is. It's foreign to me. I know it is, but it doesn't need to be. Mm-hmm. Nobody cares.
Well, it's like disco music and everything else. It gets watered down. the word viral, I'm sure.
It's less meaning.
Influencer is another one.
I'm sure it's less so than it actually is these days.
Yeah.
Oh, there's no question.
It just means I saw this. Looks good.
A guy I know told me about it.
Right.
Yeah.
It used to be known as advertising. That's how you found out about shit back in the day.
I saw a commercial, a.k.a. it's viral.
It's gone viral.
It's literally the same thing.
Out of here.
Yeah. You're right, though. That's all it is. It's some way it got onto people's timelines, which means advertising.
Right. Word of mouth. Yeah. Whatever.
And that's it.
Well, I hope you guys enjoy your hot cocoa.
Jury's out.
I got to be honest,
you don't
bro.
Have to enjoy
I'm not
it.
Feeling it.
No.
I'm going to take one more sip, but I don't know. It doesn't taste that great to me. Yeah, I'm not feeling it.
He's done.
That.
Okay.
What would you have thought if he never said what was in it? What would you be thinking of this
the
hot
same
chocolate?
Thing. Yeah. Whatever brand of hot cocoa this is, I'm not, indulging in it ever again.
Yeah, okay.
Andy, what do you think?
I think it's good. I think it almost tastes like, I don't know. I get the bone, like there's like a little bit of a saltiness to
that's
it.
I think that's really all that you can detect from it.
Yeah, but I mean, obviously if you were going to make a really good, unhealthy, something that's bad for my gut, hot chocolate, it would taste better.
It would be like three times thicker than
of
that,
course,
too.
But, yeah. I'm here for it. How's that?
Well...
I might drink Chris's. It depends how the show goes.
Yeah. You're welcome to it.
All right.
Well, I think this is Andy's, if I'm not mistaken.
I got a gift, a personal gift. I thought it was one gift for
all of us. Well, there's this, which I believe is for all of us.
Yes.
Which right, we here. Could do that one second.
Here, I'll open this
but
one.
But then I believe that's for Andy. This is from our friend Tony Griggs.
Oh, wow, this is great. This is from Tony?
Yeah.
Tony, thank you so much. I've been meaning to get around to ordering this.
I have that book. I read it.
What is it?
It is The Importance of Being Earnest.
Oh, okay.
About Jim Varney, yeah. The actor who played Ernest.
And this, I believe, is for Chris.
Written by Justin Lloyd, Jim's nephew.
His nephew. They're making a documentary based on it, I believe.
Ernest should be bigger. It's a crime what's happened to Ernest in the last 25 years.
Well, whose fault is that? So you got a bad agent, or what's the deal?
The estate of Ernest.
Yeah, it could be.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not picking on them, but...
Hand me that knife, would you?
Oh, yeah.
Over there.
Yep.
Yeah, that's a good book.
All right. Thank you. I have read it. Thank you, Tony. Thank you.
Speaking of books, I'll do mine next since Chris needs a moment to open his. Mine's ready to go. This, I'm a fan of this character. There's a Nicolas Cage vehicle coming out, the Spider-Man Noir.
You were talking about that a while ago.
I don't have this book, so I'm very excited. Thank you,
Tony. So that's what the Nicolas Cage movie is based on?
Yeah, it's on this character. So it's like a 1930s version of Spider-Man.
So Tony Griggs sent all this, right?
He did.
Thank you.
Almost enough to make me forget that he's a Blue Oyster Cult fan. You can't get past that, but whatever. To each their own, I guess. Toss it down there. What we got here? We got a mug. Oh, look at that. Just a simple Detroit Lions mug.
Oh, classy.
See, that is nice. Nice matte black finish to it.
Very nice.
Yeah, that's a solid piece.
You put your hot chocolate in there. Here, I'll pour it in there for you.
not going to desecrate this fine thing with this. Here, you want that? Take it.
Sure, thank you.
Andy's going to have so much gut health, it's not even funny.
I need it. Actually, I've been doing better lately.
Good for you.
I don't want to alarm you guys.
So this is, I believe, the first package that I've ever received with a picture of King Charles on it. I don't think I've ever seen that before.
He's on the stamp.
He's over here.
Or whatever you call it. They probably have a cooler word for it.
Yeah. Yeah. I believe last time it was still... Wait, was
that... The queen?
Was that this year that she passed, or was that last year? I don't know. Either way, maybe this is the second time we've gotten one with him. But this... I mean, I think I know who it's from. Andy knows.
It says on the back. It's from Colin Taco Bell.
Ah, yes.
Our dear friend.
Our buddy.
Who has sent us a gift the last couple years, and I believe this is the updated version of that gift. But I'm not positive.
Another calendar?
That's what I'm guessing.
It sure seems to be. I'm just making sure I don't accidentally omit anything that's in here. Nope, I think we're good.
So the last couple of years, he sent us a calendar made with each month has a custom Pot of Thunder image that he's taken from.
Not so.
Oh!
This is a nice piece right here. KISS 1987.
The official calendar.
It sure looks like it.
Wow. Does 1987...
Man, it's in good shape, too.
Does it link up with 2026?
That was my question. Do the dates sync up?
Yeah.
I guess we'll find out. What are we looking at?
If not,
what,
New Year's Eve?
New Year's Eve?
New Year's Day is Thursday.
New Year's Day is a Thursday. Yeah. Because it seems Christmas. Okay. Mm-hmm. So let's see. I'm going to be careful with this. Nope. It's not, but that's okay.
Doesn't matter. You can barely see the dates on it.
Yeah.
It's like a huge picture.
But look.
And like the calendar part is.
Oh, yeah. It's more about the pictures. Yeah.
Look at this.
Oh, yeah. Look at
what you wake up to on.
Look at the proportion.
New Year's Day.
The proportion of photo to days. No one cares about the days.
Right.
Plenty of chest here. Suggestive. Let's see here. Oh, then Gene. Gene's March, actually. Yeah. But this is like in great shape, too.
Wow.
Wow. Thank you, Colin.
Thank you. Thank you, Tony. Thank you, Colin.
Yeah, thank you, Tony.
Yeah, very generous.
And if you want to send a gift... No, I'm kidding. You don't have to send a gift. But if you do, thank you. Very much appreciate it.
Thank you,
don't
guys,
feel
so
pressured.
Much.
But we very much appreciated here. And we've got another gift coming for you.
I can't believe it.
We're going to the listener submission list, which you can access on Pot of Thunder on Patreon.
And it's your pick, right?
Yep, it's my pick.
We came to that determination because we forgot.
It's been quite a while since we've had a standard pick off the
list.
It
has been.
So we were a little bit, at a loss for trying to figure out the order. But I think it's back to me. If not, I apologize in advance. But that's what we're going
to
do.
No, I came to that conclusion. Nick came to the same conclusion independently. So
okay.
I think we feel pretty good about that.
Okay, good. Well, Nick, are you ready?
Yeah, man.
Give it a pull.
I don't have it. But somehow it turned on. What do you want from me?
That was good. So the first one is number 1733. Ooh, see, now this is kind of modern history and popedom. Maybe there's something that's going on. I don't know.
On it. I'm looking.
Let's see. 1733. But in the meantime, let me take a look and see what we've got here. Okay. It's a band I've heard of a million times, and I've, to my knowledge, never heard any of their songs. I'm going to put it in the hopper. And
really?
Yeah, because... Because
you're unfamiliar?
I think I'm unfamiliar for sure, but people like them, so we'll see. If something else jumps out at me as being more appropriate for today or whatever... that goes with this hot chocolate, then maybe that's what will happen. But we're going to put that one in the hopper and see. So, Nick, once more, please. Number 607. I should have done bingo for a career.
You would have been good.
I would have been a bingo man.
It's not too late.
No? They still got it at some places, I guess. Ooh, geez.
Excuse me.
This is an interesting one. Maybe probably better than the first one. Can I double hopper?
You can. I don't know what you're going to do, though. You have to have a tournament
of
champions.
I think I'm going to eliminate the first one and now hopper this and go to a third. Huh. These are very good selections. It's hard to beat. The only reason I'm bumping the first one is because this one's a little cheerier.
Which number was this one?
607.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Which was cheerier, the second one,
which I think I'm in the mood for. I don't know if I'm in the mood for non-cheery. All right, one last pull, Nick. Let's see. 454. I don't know who this is. I think I'll skip that one.
Yeah, you gotta skip that.
It's funny.
I glanced up.
It's funny, the first two.
I'm gonna answer that for you.
Much deliberation over the first two. The third one.
Did you know what that was, Chris?
No.
Okay, you just...
No, we're not doing that.
That can be for next Spooktober.
Exactly.
If it comes up, it comes up, but...
Yeah, I didn't see the first two, but that I glanced up and saw that. That's a no. Answering that for you.
All right, well, I'm going to turn this over to the group. Are we more in the feeling or in the mood for familiarity or new discovery?
Maybe this will tip the scales. I got a hit from 607, so...
Okay.
Hit it!
Habemus papa.
Time for Pope Stuff.
It's been a while.
Yeah, we haven't done this in a while.
People probably thought we forgot.
Here's some Pope Stuff. Time for Pope Stuff.
All right, February 19th of 607. I'm going to skip the usual question I asked Nick because this is kind of weird here. I can't really tell who was the Pope.
Oh, all right.
But we'll see how this goes. February 19th, 607. The vacancy that has existed on the papal throne since the death last year of Sabinian ends with the election of a Rome-born deacon of the Catholic Church. Pope Bonifaci III. Did I say that right?
Is it just Boniface?
Boniface. I was trying to...
I've heard Boniface, but who knows?
I was trying to be a Hispanic Australian and make it sound Italian, but...
Pope Bonaducci the Fourth.
Yeah, there you go. Pope Boniface III is appointed as the 66th Pope, but dies the same year.
And he was a deacon.
That's what it says.
I wonder how often that happened.
A Rome-born deacon of the Catholic Church.
My goodness.
Pope Boniface III. Boniface. There you go. Pope stuff. It's back.
It's back, and it's better than ever.
It was a good one.
That was a good one.
Love it. All right, so I asked, do we want to do new discovery or do we want to do familiarity? And in the chat, I see three people said new. So we're going to do it.
I kind of was going to say new, too.
What the hell? So we're going to go with the first choice. That
okay. All right.
Go back to
Really? You're taking it. You put it in the shredder.
Yeah, I took it
now
out.
You're taping it back together.
Piece it back together.
Remember what Jericho warned us about. Never let the listeners dictate how your show is going to go. So we might be venturing down some dicey territory here.
That's true.
I'm ready.
Kowtowing to this group.
I'm ready for it.
You can't trust this group.
I'm here for it, as Andy would
say. But yeah, I didn't see either selection, so I'm good with either one. Whatever you think is right.
All right. Let me see what this whole title is. Okay. All right. Let's turn the microphone over to Chris Jericho.
All right, Harold. This one's called
Black Number One, Little Miss Scare All.
Off of
Bloody Kisses. Mm.
By the band
Type O Negative. So I've heard of Type O Negative a million times. I've seen a million posts about Peter Steele over the years and people talking about him. I don't think I've ever heard Type O Negative unless it was in passing or I wasn't aware that that's what I was hearing in the background or like a Beavis and Butthead clip or something that I don't remember. But never owned any of their stuff. Never had any friends who owned their stuff.
I never owned any of their stuff. I did see them, though.
Oh, you did?
I did.
You did?
Yeah, they performed... Oh, man. Was it them? Yeah, I think it was at...
Pierogi Fest?
at Alpine Valley at like a Rock 103.5 radio festival.
Okay.
They played at Alpine Valley. I saw them. Hmm. That's really as familiar as I am with them, though, and that was like 96, 97. So it's been a little while.
Yeah.
But I know that, Peter Steele... highly regarded by
he's an iconic figure for a number of reasons, but I'm with Andy. I kind of know what to expect from the tone of his voice, but I don't think I've ever heard a Type O Negative song in its entirety from start to finish. I've heard snippets. And they have a couple notable covers.
Oh, shit.
What?
This song's 11 minutes long.
Well, you fell for it.
Who would do this to us?
Let's find out.
Should you revert to the other one then? Or
I don't know. Chris Camarado, how dare you?
He's having a good laugh right now.
His comment was, Spooktober, another great track from the 90s. Saw these guys live several times and they killed it. Nothing says Spooktober like this Halloween jam. That's probably... Yeah, that's when he submitted it. What do we do?
I mean, we could do what we did with the Queendrike song and just let it play. Don't stop it.
Yeah, I'm seeing positive... Yeah, 11... People know this one in the chat. 11 minutes. It's worth it. Yeah, we might have to just play it, though. We might not be stopping because we're already...
There's no way we're going to... We can't do the start-stop.
There's not like a video edit or something, is there? Like a Halloween situation?
We can quickly look into that and see if there is.
I know people may not want that, but...
Let's see.
Could be the case.
Fucking keyboard. I said that tiger ice cream, Nick. That's not your fault.
It's that black licorice syrup.
Mm-hmm.
It's not me, man. It's Canada.
It is.
So Type O Negative.
So this is 1993, huh?
So 89 to 2010. So basically, They were not one of those bands that kept on going, apparently, after their main man passed.
Well, good. I mean, good for them. Sure. I think a lot of bands, like, everybody, he's hands down the iconic member of the band. To carry on with replacing him, even with what little I have consumed the music, just goes to show what a significant figure he is, that you know who he is and that he's essentially irreplaceable. So credit to them for not trying to forge ahead.
What do you guys think? This is different, but along the same lines. Something that we've never discussed. It's not a band we've ever listened to on the podcast. What do you guys think of the whole Static X thing? Them continuing with the guy with the electric mask that looks like...
Oh, really?
Wayne, that's what they're Static. Doing? Yeah, yeah.
I didn't know they did that.
Yeah, they've been doing that in the past few years.
That's super weird.
It's weird, but it actually seems kind of cool to me. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know how people feel about it.
Does the guy have some connection to them, or is it just a guy who does it well?
I think he is from another band. I'm sure people listening who are, you know, bigger into that scene, they know exactly who it is. But, I mean, it's a guy that people had heard of, but they recruited him, and he's wearing a mask that looks like...
It's the guy from Dope in a mask.
That's what
it's
it was,
cool.
From Dope, yeah.
Thank you, Bobby Root. And Bobby's got his finger on the pulse of
it's different
that vibe.
It's different than what anybody else has ever done.
True.
And it's, I guess, kind of cool. I don't know, though, but I'm not, you know, particularly a fan.
Yeah.
So I don't know if I had loyalty to, you know, the original vocalist.
Yeah, I mean, I know what Push It is, that their big hit or whatever. I mean, I'm aware of
You're
it.
Thinking but, of Salt and Pepper.
Well, it's similar, but I mean, I think that is the name of their big hit.
I don't know their stuff at all.
But that's another instance where I almost completely unfamiliar with the band, but I know that it was Wayne Static was the guy.
Yeah.
He passed away, and then when they carry on with somebody else, it just seems kind of weird to me. But I didn't know they were doing that mask thing, so that's an interesting twist. It kind of borders on the whole hologram thing, but I don't know. I'd have to see it.
But then you, at the same time, you do have a live performance.
Yeah, it's not a track.
So right. There's a different element to
right.
it.
So, I mean, I'm not a big enough fan of Static X to really have an opinion one way or the other, but I was about to bring that up as an example of something similar where, you know, certain people you just can't or shouldn't replace, but it happens, and here we are. But Type O never did it, so.
So, looks like there is a video, right?
I don't want to watch the whole video.
Let's just do the thing where we play it
right,
out. Because
that's fine with me.
Here's why I say that. I like the idea of a video if it's a shorter edited version, but also everyone in the chat that is familiar with this is saying play the whole thing and do it that way. Hey, if I'm trusting them, let's just do it that way. We'll do it that style. Okay. Let it roll. If something really jumps out at us, maybe we'll take a break, but we'll see. 11 minutes is a long time.
So we got a four piece here.
Are they? Okay, the picture.
Four piece, yeah.
The picture here on Apple's three, so they must have at some point.
Apparently there's a keyboardist.
Insignificant keyboardist is what I'm...
Yeah, maybe.
It's a redundancy.
That's right. Yeah.
He's either visible on stage or off on the side.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Like that guy who... like that guy who was the double vocalist for Ozzy back in the day, supposedly.
He was the keyboard player?
No, I don't know if he was a keyboard player.
Or he was just a vocalist.
He was off completely, obviously off.
Yeah, like
out of sight. But
how long ago was that?
I forget when that was. But yeah, supposedly there was a guy who for a while.
Was Ozzy having some kind of difficulty?
I don't know.
Or was
it
like...
It was just to, you know, fill out the sound, maybe.
Somebody said the video is about 4 minutes long. So what do we want to do here?
Let's see. Let's look it up here.
Look it up, see what it...
So, yeah, 1993, written by Peter Steele while driving a garbage truck. I was waiting in line for 3 hours to dump 40 cubic yards of human waste at the Hamilton Avenue Marine Transfer Station, and I wrote the song in my head. I'm not kidding you.
Well, we never accused you of kidding us, Peter, but...
Yeah, it looks like 4 minutes, 40 seconds or something and change. So
yeah, this seems very much a, from what I'm reading, a fit for a Spooktober episode, but this is what we have for December.
Okay.
I mean, the challenge with just letting a song play is it's you're talking over the music, and it's a little difficult to...
We could do the video, right?
Yeah, we'll do it.
Yeah, I think that's the way to go.
We'll do
since
it.
Since it is, in fact, shorter.
Yep.
We'll have the appetizer size.
Yeah, and if you want to go listen to the whole 11-minute version, you do it.
Yeah, and we might be inspired to do so as well.
Yeah. All right, let's...
I know when I saw it, when I looked it up and I saw the album cover, I'm like, okay, yeah, that's one of those really big albums.
Mm-hmm.
Not one that I've ever owned.
Yeah.
But yeah, like when I saw it, I'm like, okay, yeah, this is...
This woman who looks like, what's that lady's name? Everyone's going to be mad at me for saying that. The lady who's Princess Leia. Princess Leia.
Oh, Carrie Fisher.
This looks like Carrie Fisher and someone else, I don't know.
Yeah, but I mean, that's an album cover that I'm like, okay, yeah, this was a big album.
Yeah, you've seen that before, huh? I don't think I have. Bloody Kisses, 1993. Not familiar. Okay. Well, how about we take a quick commercial break and we come right back with that really long name. I forgot. Bloody number one, lady of the night, all night long, scare all. Whatever.
Black number one, Little Miss Scare All.
There it is. All right, we'll be right back. Very artistic intro. It's like a cologne commercial.
I was just gonna say Black number one, now that I just saw the words up on the screen, I'm like, okay, maybe that's a play on like a cologne.
Yeah,
a name for a cologne.
She's in love with herself. She likes the dark. On her milk white neck.
I mean, it's, you know, it's Interview with a Vampire basically.
It's theatrical.
Yeah, yeah.
He's in a character here. He's in a role.
Milk white, by the way, is something that we used to say, which predates this. So I don't know if we somehow had an influence on Peter Steele, but... Guys I worked with in high school and early college, guys I went to high school with, we used to use the term my milk white ass to say something like, you know, something ridiculous or, you know, like something my ass. We would tack on milk white, and occasionally we would go with chalk white.
That's good too.
But that was a thing in the late 80s, which predated this by 5 years. So
I would go with it.
Big fan of milk white.
Good.
Chalk white is good too. Just when you throw that in there to mix it up.
Even whiter, possibly.
Yeah.
The devil's mark. Now it's all Halloween's Eve.
Okay, so we got our Halloween reference. I was going to say the bass part, it's not the same. And I think I brought this up for another song years ago.
Mm-hmm.
The Kids in the Hall sketch with Kevin McDonald singing, where he's talking about the bass player, and yeah, it's Bruce McCullough standing there playing bass the whole time. It was like the woman. Yeah. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da.
Wasn't that? Didn't we do that about a Kiss song? I can't remember.
I think so. It came up before, but yeah, just the way the bass sounds.
Yeah.
It just makes me think of that, playing that Hofner bass.
Yeah.
In the sketch.
And isn't Peter the bass player also?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah,
okay. He is.
Moon is full. Will she trick or treat?
Are you expecting us to comment on the Transylvanian delivery?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know enough about typo negative, but I'm guessing this is relatively tongue in cheek for them.
I don't know.
At least so far. It's fun and hokey so far.
Yeah.
I guess we'll see where it goes. I'm, frankly, again, I'll admit to being largely unfamiliar with their catalog.
Mm-hmm.
I want to know vocally where else he's going to go.
Now we're going to find out.
Yeah, I want, like, because I'm assuming things are going to kick up, and I'm wondering how he adjusts to that vocally.
I'll bet you will. She's got a date at midnight with those for round two. Oh,
whoa. He said Lily Munster.
Oh, that's what he said?
I think so.
Name-checking Lily Munster.
Yvonne DiCarlo reference.
You got nothing on you.
Well, what a compliment.
I mean, I guess it is.
Yeah. In that world.
It's reminding me lyrically of some of the stuff from the Halloween song.
Really?
With waiting for a big pumpkin to, like, it just kind of
big
pumpkin. Yeah, I loved that it was big pumpkin to arrive, but yeah, I like just kind of making references to pop culture, Halloween related pop culture items.
Mm. Yeah.
I mean, it's fun.
It's fun. It's Danzig-y a little bit.
Yes, he did kind of go into a Danzig territory there.
Yeah. But probably more so in the theatrical vein, right? I would say. I don't think Danzig ever did a Dracula accent, as far as I know.
Only on the beach in Portlandia.
That's true, he did. There you go. Never mind, he did it.
I'm thinking this is, it's adding to my enjoyment thinking about the time period and how the 90s were pretty eclectic.
Mm-hmm.
And I know we've talked about it in the past, and I agree with Chris. 70s, probably the best decade for music, followed by the 90s. And I think it had a lot to do with that,
mm-hmm,
with the sort of the eclectic feel of it. And in 93, you had like grunge on top of the world.
Mm-hmm.
And it's cool to see something like this that was coming out around that time. It was grunge and then like Aerosmith, like another huge comeback for Aerosmith, stuff like that. And this has a sort of a, maybe it's the stand-up bass that he's playing in the video. But I'm kind of getting like a hellbilly, if you will. A
little bit of that in there.
A little bit of that scene.
But he is playing it sideways like a normal bass.
Yeah, which
just
is
because
kinda,
he can.
Which is kind of funny. Yeah, he is. Yeah, that's true. He's a large enough man where he could do that.
Yeah.
No, it's just, it's interesting to try to think of what was popular in 93 and how this fits into it.
Yeah, and being, you know, 93 was right the year I quit the band I moved to Chicago to be in, disbanded, and then I joined the Mean Reds in 93. Typo Negative reminds me of like the kind of music you would hear if you went to Exit or Berlin or something, or one of those like kind of counterculture nightclubs that were going on in the city. And, you know, the quasi goth scene.
Yeah, yeah.
Or maybe even just the actual goth scene. I don't know, but goth, however you want to pronounce it. But, you know, people were aware. I certainly was aware of Typo Negative, and just when the name of the band comes up, you just picture what their fans are like. And if you wanted to immerse yourself in that scene, there were plenty of clubs in the city that would cater to these people who were into this band.
And I believe Typo Negative is the rarest blood type, by the way.
Is that what it is?
If I'm not mistaken. And I would know, because I'd need to find another one if I needed a transfusion.
Are you, you're Typo Negative?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
No kidding.
So that's my understanding, is can't receive from anybody else unless they're the same type.
Jeez. I don't know what blood type I am. Well, how the, why do I have to know?
I don't know.
Can't they just figure it out?
It's probably good to know.
Hook the computer up to me. And
I had a blood donor card years ago that had my blood type on it, but I don't can't remember. Couldn't tell you what it is, so...
I think it's like I could be wrong. I think it's you can give to anyone else, but you can't receive from anybody other than another.
How weird.
Typo Negative.
The hell, Nick.
And like, like, how do you figure that out? You know,
people, a bunch of people die.
Right. Trial and error.
Yeah. And that's something I've thought about before. How has anything in the medical field ever come to fruition? People had to die.
Everything. Piles of people.
For people to come, for the medical experts to come to the conclusion that this is beneficial, this is not, this can kill you, this can't. How you arrive at what's going on in the modern day medicinally, there's the body count that was required to get to this point is probably that Pope in 607 was a casualty of
you never
something
know.
Like that. Who knows?
I gave him the wrong blood.
Hmm. All right, let's continue here. Yeah, you wanna go out. This is the same song. What happened?
It's 11 minutes in the real version. So, I didn't even hear a transition.
Back? Yeah, let's go back like 10 seconds because I'm confused.
I have a feeling a lot of the big fans of this band who are listening right now just went, ugh.
Yeah, yeah.
Terrible edit.
Yeah. It's kind of weird.
If it's an 11-minute song and you got to do it, I guess that sounded like a passable edit, but...
But here's the thing. If it's a song that they felt was worthy of editing down to put out as a quote-unquote single, why would you make it 11 minutes in the first place? Why don't you just fucking rearrange it in the studio so you don't have to worry about... some hack coming in and chopping it up. We talk about this all the time, but that's the role of a producer, to be like, guys, I know you want this 11-minute version of the song, but if we whittled it down to 4 minutes, it could be the single. It's that good. Mm-hmm. But we can't put it out as 11 minutes. So why put out an edited version? It just doesn't make any sense to me. It's a weird decision.
Yeah, you could have had, if you really needed it, you could have done like part two at the end of the album or something.
Yeah, like, true. Or, yes. create a radio edit that's not edited by somebody post-production, just rearrange it and record a shorter version, or just have the same title slightly different. Mm-hmm. Who knows? But yeah, it's just strange how these decisions get arrived at.
Yeah.
So we have, this is the other lead vocalist, if I'm not mistaken, right? I don't think that's Peter Steele singing that part.
Oh, is it not? I don't know.
That looks like Kenny Hickey.
Oh, really?
Well, it's the guitar player, so.
Okay.
Sounds a little like Hetfield.
Mm. Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah.
So they're doing a little trade-off
and
here.
And on the Metallica tip, sonically, this is reminding me of Injustice for All, in that there's not a lot of bottom end in this music.
No, not a whole lot in this version, I mean, at least.
Especially when they kick it into the higher gear, there's just no... It kind of lacks sonic power to me. It's not a full sonic range experience, lacking in bottom end to my ears. I don't know if it's just the YouTube version or whatever, but that would be my observation of it. Very Injustice for All sounding in terms of that frequency just not being present.
Has there ever been anything more Danzig
than that? Yeah.
Than that?
Was it saying Black, Black, Black?
Number one.
Number one?
Yeah. It's interesting with the two co-lead vocalists. Mixes it up. Pretty cool.
I don't mind that.
Yeah. When it kicked up a little bit there, it had, before this part, when Kenny Hickey was singing, the guitar player, it had an Alice in Chains kind of a vibe to it, to me.
It's interesting because you can pick little pieces of a whole bunch of different bands out at different times in this so far. It's a little reminiscent of this. I'm not saying they're ripping anybody off, but I'm just saying, like, it sounds like of the time, and there's nods to all these other bands. And I don't mean that as like they're taking from. They could have been first for all I know, but I'm just saying it's like familiarity. Like, oh, that kind of reminds me of this. That reminds me of that.
How many albums into their career was this? Do we know? Only, we looked that up. I mean, the Alice in Chains could be sounding like Typo Negative for all we know.
Yeah.
Well, it said Typo Negative started in 89.
This looks like it was the third album, if what I have here is correct.
So there could have been an influence.
Yeah. I mean, Facelift hit in 1990, so
it's so entirely possible.
And where is California band?
Ooh, that's a good question.
Typo Negative is a Brooklyn band.
They are a Brooklyn band.
Yes, I've been getting
Lombardozzi's neck of the woods.
Well, he sent me some messages. He's got a connection to them. He said, Brooklyn's own Typo Negative. These guys used to hang out in the studio I used to rehearse in when I was in high school. And he said, we used to prank the drummer. Prank call the drummer. There you go.
Prank call the drummer.
If you're going to prank call someone, it's going to be the drummer.
Well, yeah, if you want someone who's going to get mad,
it's going to be the drummer.
Right away, then yeah, you call the drummer.
Someone who won't have...
Not saying this drummer specifically, I know nothing about him, but just as a generality.
Yeah. Someone who's not going to have a good sense of humor about it.
No, if you want a reaction out of your prank call, someone who's not just going to be cool about it and hang up, you call the drummer.
Instantly.
You want that fly off the handle reaction.
Well, there you go. Tommy just said he would get really mad. Love that. Okay. Let's keep going.
It's growing on me, I will say. I'm enjoying, like, just there. It's a good mixture of, there's some seriousness to it, but then it's pretty tongue in cheek, like with the harpsichord and stuff like that. It really playing up like the gothic sort of a feel.
Yeah. Bobby Roode said it's a song about a goth chick who won't go out because she needs to color her hair. Danzig would never be this seriously silly. Is it too silly for Danzig?
I don't know. I think so. Yeah, probably.
So she won't go out with him because she has to color her hair, huh?
Well, she won't go out, period, because she, you know... The goths, like anybody else, I don't care what sort of subculture or culture or whatever you want to call it you belong to, everybody dons some sort of uniform when they venture out. And goths especially strike me as the type of people that unless their look is completely dialed in, they're not going to go out.
Yeah. That's true.
You know, the hair color, the eyeliner, the makeup, the fashion, all of it, you know, very, very meticulous from head to toe, the goth people that I've known or been around.
What if the pharmacy's closing in like a half hour?
You gotta haul ass over there.
I mean, are they not going?
Well, apparently you can get... pharmacy stuff DoorDash to you now, so
makes it a lot easier.
Didn't exist back then.
Yeah, 93. I don't know what you would do.
You gotta put on your running sneakers and go over there. That's not gonna work.
That's what I was gonna say. If you're half done up,
yeah,
and it's just not working, but you've got to get somewhere.
It's not gonna work with the look.
I think you've put too much pressure on yourself.
Yeah. You can't put on your knee-high boots with a bunch of buckles on it and run down the street to the CVS.
With like 6-foot laces that you need to get all the way up.
Yeah. It's going to take all day. So I never thought about this. That is a time-consuming look.
Well, I mean, calling it gothic, it's like you think, you see those videos sometimes. Maybe they don't pop up for you guys, but
it's on your algorithm.
It'll be stuff like colonial times, like stuff like that, where it's like the women had to wear
this piece
and then this piece and then this piece and then this giant thing.
Yeah.
And it kind of harkens back to that, where it's you don't just throw on sweats and go running out. It's like
yeah, they're not wearing Angry Birds pajamas in public.
No, they're not.
No, it doesn't say pink anywhere on their pants.
And that was a thing when you when we would occasionally sort of infiltrate the goth scene just to see what was going on and go to these bars. We didn't look. We stuck out like sore thumbs because we just were like dressed like regular people. And we were, as a result, ostracized in those environments because we were dickheads. We just looked like regular schmoes venturing into this goth scene where everybody is done up meticulously from head to toe. And, you know, up to including, you know, just straight up confrontations of like, why were you even let into this club? So, you know. Like I said, it was Exit. Berlin was kind of like this. You know, On some nights, Neo.
Arturo's
favorite club. I know they had a dedicated goth night. And even if you weren't a goth, if you were bored on that night, you're like, I want to see what's going on in there. But you go in and you, like, t-shirt and jeans, and you just see all these, you know, people who are, you could tell they put hours into the look.
Yeah.
And it was just a weird juxtaposition of people in there. But the people who were serious about it, you know, they seemed to be and like anybody else, they were territorial about it. You know, clowns coming in there just to hang out. They're like, yeah, you really shouldn't be in here.
Yeah,
like, we can't really not let you in, but we wish you weren't here because you don't belong here.
Yeah, right?
It's so Adam's Family.
So they're doing an Adam's Family, sort of.
Yeah.
Sorry, Nick.
Oh, that's all right. I didn't derive this information from listening to the lyrics, but since Bobby said that it's about a girl dyeing her hair, mm-hmm. I'm guessing black number one is the color she's dyeing her hair.
Yeah.
For whatever reason, I just made that connection after hearing that.
That makes sense.
Yeah, it's you know what? I'm enjoying now that the drums are mixing it up a little bit. I would go and listen to the full version just to hear how it kind of builds and, you know, where it, how it exactly gets to each part and how long it builds, and yeah, I'd be curious to hear the whole thing.
See, I would not be. My take on this is like, look, I know who Peter Steele is. I understand his influence on pop culture in general, and that he's just an iconic figure in a certain, you know, subculture. But just this music, just this is not something I would ever listen to for pleasure. Lee Travis in the chat earlier said that they were often referred to as the Drab Four, takeoff on the Fab Four, of course. But yeah, it's just too downtrodden for me. Hmm. I get it how some people are into it, but it's like not hearing a ton of their music. I knew what the tone of his voice was based on what I've heard from these guys. And then I also knew that, like, almost everything they do is, like, this down-tempo, half-speed, just plodding stuff to my ears. And it's just not something that I would put on to listen to for pleasure. It's just not. So I'm the opposite of Nick. I'm not interested in hearing the full-length version.
There's something about the fact that they're in on the joke a little bit.
Oh, they're definitely in on the joke, and there is that humor element, which is, again, a weird juxtaposition based on the visual presentation, and just, you know, and just utterly original. I mean, has there ever been a band that has sounded like these guys? Or that you've ever heard of? I can't think of anybody.
I don't know enough about this genre.
Yeah, I'm kind of thinking like, okay, Danzig is the first thing that came to mind. And then a little tiny bit of White Zombie, but not really. Like, I could see their fans having a little bit of a crossover.
Oh, I could imagine a big crossover, yeah.
Yeah, but I don't, you know, it's not the same. And then, like Nick said, a little bit of an Alice in Chains vibe at times. Chris said the Metallica thing. I don't know, there's just all kinds of separate little pieces, but I don't think of one band that, oh, this is like this.
Yeah.
This is a copy of this band, you know?
Yeah, at least just based on this song.
Yeah.
That's the thing. Like, when you think of Metallica, you also kind of think of the other big four metal bands and then branch off and other. Your mind starts going down the family tree of similar bands, right? Mm-hmm. Same with Alice in Chains or any of the grunge bands. You think of Alice in Chains, Soundgarden pops in your head, Nirvana, Melvins, all that kind of stuff. Your typo negative, you just stop there. So where else do you go? And part of it has to do with the fact that we're not super versed on goth music. I personally am not.
I'm not.
But also, they're just so singular. It's like you just know this based on their reputation that they're utterly unique in the pantheon of music, both the band and Peter Steele himself, that you just, you know, when you're craving this kind of music, there are no other bands that rush into your consciousness. This is it.
I mean, I would imagine there are, that they influenced a lot of bands, but as far as contemporaries of them, I don't. Again, yeah, we're not well versed, but yeah, I don't know.
The following statement applies to almost everything about my presence on this show, but I could be talking completely out of my ass. But I just think that they're so utterly unique in the overall picture that there's no, like, I don't know. Like, I wonder where, like, that the evolution of metal, that Sam Dunn documentary series, I wonder where he had typo negative in the metal sort of family tree and what other branches would be associated with them. I'd be interested to look into that a little bit. I'm curious about that in terms of the actual music. I'm not really sure I need to hear any more from... typo. It's just not my thing.
Well, a couple different comments in the chat here from old Jercat. He said derived from Bauhaus. Bauhaus was, you know, they had like a proto goth sound, but I don't think they had any metal to them.
Right.
They probably were huge at Neo on that night that Arturo used to go. But so then Bobby Roots said, Sabbath mixed with The Cure, Sisters of Mercy, and The Beatles, and Bauhaus. So maybe it's an amalgamation of things they liked.
It's funny how The Cure is always in there somewhere.
Yeah, I was going to mention them too.
Oh, and Tony Griggs said doom metal. Would this be doom metal? I know the term, but I don't really know the...
I
couldn't tell you bands that are in that category. I
couldn't tell you either, but when I hear doom metal, I think of musically this tempo, like Chris was saying, slower. That plodding quality to it.
Okay.
That's what comes to my mind.
Okay.
And frankly, this music, it works pretty well with my new graphic novel.
It does. And Jeff Stroop says, I was a wannabe vampire back in the middle 90s. All right.
We got to talk about that.
I'd like to hear more about that. Were you into The Brood and WWF?
Oh, there you go, yeah.
And what constitutes a wannabe vampire? Your fangs didn't actually pierce the milk-white skin of a neck. You just got close to it. That's an interesting identifier.
Well, weren't there
wannabe vampire?
Weren't there things where blood was drunken?
Sure, that still happens.
But they exchanged, you know, with people, and somehow I don't know how you make sure it's safe to do that. But
I'm sure people still do that. People do all kinds
of weird shit. I remember hearing that back in around this time period, and being like, "What? Like, you just give you somehow do a little bloodletting and give someone a cup of it? Like, okay, I guess that's a thing that people are into.
Well, we've graduated to bone broth hot chocolate.
Yeah, there you go.
I don't know if the blood would be as gut healthy for you as the bone broth.
Yeah, next week Nick's gonna bring in blood hot chocolate.
Blood orange zest sprinkled on the next baked treat.
That would be good, actually.
Now we've got a little bit to go here. Let's finish it off. Sade, what's going on here?
It looks like her. She's got a knife, though.
Yeah.
Sade, another wannabe vampire.
So one thing I'll say before we vote, I could see this being a band with a fun scene to be a part of. Like if you were following them locally and they had a scene and it was your scene, like this would be, it would be a cool time, you know, an original, probably exciting, unique scene happening.
Oh yeah. Like I said, when we would go to these goth clubs just to sort of infiltrate it, you could tell that it was a tightly knit scene. We just didn't belong there.
And
we weren't going to be welcomed into it because we didn't look the part. We were just complete idiots in no way trying to assimilate ourselves into the scene, but you could observe that these people are just way into it, and it was a lifestyle and something that they were passionate about. You totally picked up on that for sure.
Imagine being at a party that this band threw.
Yeah.
Probably a great time until the drummer started screaming at the phone and slammed it down.
Yeah. Lombardozzi was prank calling him.
Doing a Chinese voice on the other.
Just ruined the whole party.
Exactly.
Way to go, Tommy.
That's not the vibe they want to be putting out.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're all being cool and, you know, like Adam's Family-ish, you know, that sort of strangely calm about all this, you know, kind of vibe, and then the drummer's losing it.
Quick debate or whatever, let's settle this. Adam's Family or Munsters, where are you guys at?
I was never into either. I mean, I watched episodes, but I guess Munsters was funnier mainly because of Al Lewis, his grandpa Munster. There was a little more humor there, which I tend to be drawn to. And just, you know, the incessant, you know, kissing of Morticia by Gomez. It's like, okay, I don't need to see all
this. I like that he was really horny, Gomez.
I liked it, but
he heard French, right? He would lose it.
Yeah.
It was another sort of an early example of what I call the King of Queens dynamic, where you have the hot wife and the just plain, if not completely dumpy looking husband. And it's just like, she doesn't want this guy's mouth all over her. Look at him. He's a nothing.
He's still around too, John S.
Is he really?
Yeah. He's like in his mid-90s.
Good. Still fucking kissing people from wrist to shoulder all day.
I hope so.
He made it
probably
longer.
Keeps them young.
He made it longer than Raul Julia.
Oh yeah,
who played the character in the early 90s
masterfully.
Yeah, that was like a switch where he was cooler, I think, than, not that Morticia was like a dumpy. I'm not saying she was the King of Queens character, but. He was more suave. Yeah, he was.
But then, you know,
and John Astin.
And I am somewhat familiar with the old, what's his name, Charles Adams, the guy who drew the comics or whatever they're based on. And it was more like, you've seen the cartoons that have come out, the Addams Family movies.
They look more like that.
More like that, where he's like a little heavier. More like, I mean, they had the mustache, and he was kind of suave and everything like that. But I'd say they went back to the what the original artwork looked like.
Luis Gomez or whatever that guy's name is did it in the most recent thing.
Well, that's...
Whatever that guy's name is. Is that the right name, that dude?
Oh, the voice, you mean, or what?
I thought... Was it just the voice, or did he actually do it in live action? Maybe it was just the voice.
Oh, I don't know.
I'm just making a mistake here. But yeah, that would probably be more accurate, right? That would be more
accurate. But they made him, like with Raul Julia, he was more
Luis
like...
Luis Guzman, sorry.
Luis, oh, okay. He was more handsome, I would say. More debonair and handsome.
Yeah. Was it Angelica Houston?
Yeah.
That was... Andy does nothing, not like Angelica
nothing for
Houston.
Me. No. Go fly a kite.
Gave her a deluxe fart noise immediately.
Thumbs
after,
down.
Missing her name. Yeah. Yeah, I never saw those movies. I just not my bag. Yeah. Not into it.
Those are good movies, I will say. Christopher Lloyd, brilliant as always.
Yeah, that's true.
He was Lurch, I take it.
He was Fester.
Faster.
Okay.
Lurch was... I don't know who Lurch was, actually.
I don't know either. Some weird-looking guy.
Yeah, but... I would say, as much as I love the fact that Fred Gwynne and Al Lewis were in The Munsters, and they're from Car 54, which I love, mm-hmm. probably... I think I would watch The Addams Family over The Munsters at this point.
Yeah, I don't have an answer. I think I like the Munsters more, but I'm not.
I love the Munsters, like, yeah. But I think, I don't know, something about the Addams Family. It's the same kind of shtick, though. It's like where they're weirdos and they're acting perfectly normal, mm-hmm. being weird. And I guess the whole concept would have been the Addams Family concept first.
That was first. I don't even know.
I mean, okay. I would think. Okay. I would think that whole, because it was, you know, said drawings and stuff like that. One panel comics and stuff like that before. So, both awesome though.
But then there was that horrible Munsters movie,
which a few there years were parts ago. Of it that I enjoyed. I will admit.
The Rob Zombie directed Munsters movie.
I didn't even know there was such a
I wanted to love it. I ended up kind of liking it, but yeah.
I wanted to love it. I put it on. I probably made it about a half hour into it. I'm like, this is so shitty.
I watched the whole thing.
I couldn't get through it. I just thought it was terrible. There was nothing.
Great color.
Okay.
In the sets and everything.
Sure.
Give that to the Angelica Houston raspberry reaction.
Yep.
It's a big fart noise to
I foresee a Facebook reel in your future, Andy.
What have I done? There's that whole batch of actresses at a certain point where I'm like, how did these people get to be who they were?
Well, John Huston was her father. That probably helped.
Right. But Angelica, she's in that group. I don't want to name all the others, but...
All right. She does a pretty good job in my favorite Woody Allen movie, Crimes and Misdemeanors.
Okay. I'll give her that then, if you say so.
I totally get it. She is, in terms of, like, you know, this sexy goth woman, that would miss the mark for me. I just don't see it in her.
No, not at all.
Whatever. None of this is in my wheelhouse. I'm not goth in any way. I don't want to be goth. And just nothing about it appeals to me. But being in that environment, you can see how into it other people are, and God bless them for it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess if you find other people that are like, hey, I'll play along with you and do this, it's probably a lot of fun. Of course, until the drummer gets a phone call.
So here's what, just last thing on this to make sense of everything. The live action thing I was talking about is from that Netflix show Wednesday.
Okay.
That's where Luis Guzman is
playing. Yeah.
Okay.
And then Catherine Zeta-Jones is Morticia, which makes much better.
Oh, that's much better. Yes, absolutely.
That makes sense. It's good. I wonder who Uncle Fester is.
I can find out for you, but I don't know. Bobby Roode says Angelica Houston was hot in Addams Family.
His judgment is frequently, if not 100%, questionable about everything.
I think it was just that Raul Julia was the one who was kissing on her, and his debonairity, was just all over everybody.
Oh, Fred Armisen is Fester.
Fred Armisen there is you Fester. Go. Well,
we got it all figured out.
Yeah. Somehow it all comes around to Fred Armisen. It
does. We brought it. He was brought up in the pre-show chat.
Yeah.
Andy's going to try out for
to be his stand-in.
Be a stand-in. There's a casting agency in Chicago looking for someone.
Yep.
Fred Armisen stand-in.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Jenny Ortega is Wednesday. Yep.
No idea who that is.
I bet
another heir to the taco shell fortune.
Yes, that's how she got in there.
A rival to the taco shell fortune.
Yeah, that's it. They're debating of who's going to take it over, Kenny and Jenny. Who's going to be the one?
Let the
why
courts,
not both?
Let the courts sort it out.
Yep. All right, we got a vote. Sweet Surrender or Kick in the Crotch? Oh, I guess.
You gotta go.
I gotta go first.
You gotta do this.
Damn. Let me think for a second. How did this song go?
Back, 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 back. It's like a
garbage truck backing up.
The garbage truck he was driving when he wrote the song.
Oh, that might be where
they
came from.
Maybe he was mimicking the reverse signal.
He's like, I need one
with the chorus.
I need one more part.
He's like, yeah, I need a chorus, and it's not coming to me. I got to back out of this alley. So, oh, there it is.
There it is. Done.
All right, for that verse, that reason, I'm giving it a Sweet Surrender.
It's Sweet Surrender.
Not to play my hand too far ahead of time, but I'm barely giving it a Sweet Surrender. I'm kind of with Chris where he was coming from, where this doesn't really... This is not something that I want to be listening to on the way to work or whatever. I'm not listening.
Ever.
Or
I
ever.
Can't think of
yeah.
I can't think of a scenario where I would ever want to listen to Typo Negative from what I've... my cursory knowledge of them.
Yeah.
And that also prohibits me from delving deeper into their catalog. I have zero interest in exploring that.
Yeah.
While at the same time, I can respect their influence and their legacy and all of that. It's not for me.
That's pretty
stepping
much
stepping on your toes over there.
That's pretty much exactly what I was going to say, but I'm giving them the 51%. Sweet Surrender to the 49 Kick in the Crotch, and just barely nudging it over the edge for this song. You know, I respect what's happening. I feel like this would be a fun thing, you know, if that was your world and all that. It'd probably be great and a delight to experience this, but it's just not me. So I'm not interested in digging any deeper.
And Jackie is referencing the inclusion on a Beavis and Butthead episode. This is a video that was, you know, analyzed by them. And I'm sure in that context, I probably saw it, because the only TV I consumed in the early to mid 90s was Beavis and Butthead and the body shaping shows and their equivalents on ESPN in the morning.
Hmm.
It's all I watched for like 3 or 4 years straight in the 90s.
I don't know if you
shows
missed.
Like Friends, Seinfeld, completely off my radar. Did not watch those at all. So it's ESPN and MTV and just those two shows.
All right. Who wants to vote next?
Well, you kind of gave... Well,
did I give everyone's vote?
Well, Chris kind of gave his...
Yeah, I'm going to do the opposite of Andy. I'm going to do a 51% kick in the crotch here.
It's a humiliating kick in the crotch!
Because, it's just not something I can appreciate the quality. I just it's not for me, and I really don't want to go to the second round of voting here. It's another consideration we've talked about.
Mm-hmm.
But again, it's right on the fence, because I can appreciate and acknowledge the iconic status of these guys, Peter Steele in particular, the influence and how legit the goth culture is, it's just absolutely has nothing to do with me or anything I'd ever be interested in consuming. So that's my reasoning.
Nick?
I'll give it a bit of a sweet surrender.
It's sweet surrender. Hell yes.
I mean, it's not something that, like, I'm not salivating over the thought of going on a streaming service and listening to everything that they put out or anything like that, but I find just this song in particular, I'm like, you know what? I would listen to the full version just to hear how that went as opposed to this edit.
Yeah.
Like a lot of bands or even whole genres of music, I can take it in small doses, but it would get really tiresome after a while. Mm-hmm. And if it's kind of this tempo with every song, it would be tough for me to really get into this band. But I do, there's that sort of humor that's in this song, though, that I'm like, okay, they're in on the joke. Like, yes, they are part of this goth scene, whatever, but they get it, and they're kind of poking fun at themselves a bit.
Mm-hmm.
So that's endearing to me. So I would investigate it a bit more. I'm not just based on, like, musically and everything that we heard, it's not something where I'm like, oh, I gotta hear more. Like, on my way home tonight, mm-hmm. I'm punching it up and listening to it. Like, but, you know, tomorrow, maybe. I might check out the full version of the song just to kind of hear the difference and see if there's anything cool that was left out. So, yeah, I mean, I'm fine with it. It's not something that I'm going to put on in the background while I'm doing something in the kitchen or whatever. But it's, you know, I liked that it was fun. I didn't expect that.
There you go. All right. Well, if you disagree with us, we're sorry.
That's just the fucking way it is.
Deal with it. Nick, do you have anything?
I think me and Chris both have something.
Yeah?
Oh,
yeah.
I've got something.
All right. Quick commercial break. We'll be right back with some jokes.
Ho, ho, ho.
The jokes come out at night. The jokes come out at night.
The jokes come out.
All right.
How many you got, Ned?
You know what? I got one submitted from a listener, and okay. Then I can add one of mine.
Yeah. Well, I'll go in the middle because I come with one each week.
Okay.
I'm a quality over quantity guy.
So, again, second appearance of this particular individual on this episode. The great Colin Bell sent me this one. And coincidentally, it's got to do with Kiss. After he gave us this really excellent calendar, which we're going to have to post pictures of for people to see, I think. So Colin asks, what is Santa Claus's favorite Kiss song?
What? I don't know.
What is Santa Claus's favorite Kiss song? Well, according to Colin, it's Un-Ho-Ho-Holy.
Bullshit!
Thank you, Colin. Oh, there he goes. Jeez. Again. Ho, ho, ho.
All right.
Excuse me, everybody.
My turn?
Yep.
Sure.
Okay. What apparatus does an achy Santa Claus rely on to get him through delivering gifts to children all around the world each year?
Huh.
Okay, so after he's given the gifts, he needs relief? Is
not necessarily.
Saying. Okay.
What apparatus does an achy Santa Claus rely on to get him through those long Christmas Eves of delivering gifts to kids all around the world?
I cannot imagine.
Andy?
I got nothing.
A chimney brace.
What's wrong with you, man? You're slipping.
I like that one. I like that one.
That's my one a week is what you're gonna get from me. So now the work begins to come up with my next joke.
I could throw in a bonus. I don't really have the joke fleshed out. I could just go for it.
Okay.
I just thought, okay, there's something here. I just don't know what it is. So I'm gonna force myself right now. What rock band is a favorite of the residents of the North Pole? What classic rock band is a favorite among those residents of the North Pole?
I don't know.
Man, that's like when it was like, which Kiss song? It's like, okay, there are 290
yeah.
that could be possible. At least that many, if not more, classic rock bands. No clue.
Well, I'll just say, due to the fact that both Rudolph and Klaus are in it, it's the Scorpions.
So there's some guesses. Slayer.
Oh, okay. Well, good. Good. Glad people are participating.
Yeah. The Rolling Cold.
I couldn't think of one for Matthias. Wow. A pun for that, but.
Who gives a shit?
There you go. Very loud today, too.
Yeah, yeah, Paul is emphatic.
He is.
All right, well, thank you for hanging with us today. Hope you had a good time. We'll be back next week for the
Christmas week?
Christmas week.
Wow.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Yeah, because this is, what, the 15th and the 22nd.
Yeah.
Yep.
Sure
good
is.
Grief. Wow. So next week is the Christmas episode.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
I could tell another one then in that case.
If you want to.
I'll save it.
Save it.
I've got two. Maybe I'll even come up with more. We'll see.
All right. Well, thank you, everybody. We'll
and hopefully Chris comes up with another.
Oh, I will.
I enjoyed the chimney brace quite a bit.
It'll just be the one, but I will have something next week.
All right. All right, everybody.
Weihnachten drin.
Really did sound Italian there.
I took it as Italian when I heard it.
Might have lied.